I want to speak tonight on recapturing the power of praise. I want to speak for you that are here, but also for the many that will be watching online, recapturing the power of praise. I speak here as I speak and preach to our own churches. I feel such a burden and a commitment to this church, to Pastor Tim and Cindy. This afternoon, I was walking in my room and praying, and I was reminded of Ephesians chapter 6, this amazing chapter on spiritual warfare and all, and principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. And in the middle of it, in a moment that I believe led of the Holy Spirit, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the Apostle Paul opens up in vulnerability and says, and pray and take every weapon and the armor. And then he says, and pray for me. And I really felt to ask you, are you praying for your pastor and his wife? Are you praying for them? Are you praying for them? Just a reminder in God to pray for them, to pray. I love this couple so much, and to pray for them. You have no idea what they are carrying. You have no idea the attacks of the enemy against them. So how many of you will commit or recommit to praying for them? And would you just express it tonight? We love you. Love you guys so much. I feel I've received the mandate of the Lord just as a pastor to our own congregation, but where just felt led of the Lord, recapturing the power of praise from the Spirit of God to teach people, or a very simple message tonight, teach people again on the power of praise. As if the Lord was saying, do not let the enemy steal the manifest presence of God from their lives. Do you understand that this place here, 51st and Broadway, over the 30 years, I think Pastor Tim doesn't want us to get older, because I've said about 10 times, I've been coming here for 37 years, and he always says 20 years or so. So I don't know. I think he wants to pretend he's 10 years younger. I don't know what's going on. But in all the 35 and more years that Times Square Church has been here, do you understand that this is a place where the manifest presence of God is moving, and this was... If you want to give praise tonight, give praise for the manifest presence of God that has taken us through everything we've been through. The spiritual reality that God is omnipresent, of course, He's everywhere, but He inhabits, He dwells, He's enthroned, He is present and manifesting His power in the midst of God, of His people praising Him, of the praises of His people. There is a supernatural intensification, a transfer from heaven to earth when we praise Him in truth and in spirit. You understand? It's not just singing or song. There's a supernatural transfer that takes place. God spoke to my spirit, just simply remind and teach my people how urgent and essential it is for each of us to recapture in our own personal life the power of praise. You know, there's many types of preaching. There's pastoral preaching and prophetic preaching. That you can doing proclamatory preaching. You can be doing purifying preaching. I believe preaching, preaching the Word of God must always comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable. That's what we're called to do. And the different types of preaching, but I believe there's also preparation. There's preparatory preaching. And I think that's what I'm feeling led of the Lord to do, that God is preparing. And when I listen to Pastor Tim's messages over the last 6 months and more, I believe there's a unity of spirit that God is preparing God's people for what is coming. That in the wake of coming years, where weariness worries and affliction and wickedness that is increasing, the wars in the world around us, we need to recapture worship. That in the coming times of pain pressures, with so many people around us, will be totally panicked, and we need as God's people, I need to recapture praise and worship. I was reading recently on the medical research on what they call prolonged COVID-19 syndrome. And there's more and more information on it, more and more medical information on it. The symptoms are physical, psychological, emotional, relational. The ramifications and effects are felt economically, socially, and I believe spiritually. I believe as I travel and in our own and all of our churches in Canada, I believe that many, many Christians are coming out of the pandemic and there's a sense of exhaustion. There's a sense of we held on so long through it, a sense of a prolonged sense of a loss of energy, of joy. The studies speak of people that are a whole society having a heart of difficulties trusting authorities and institutions. The anger, the deep of anxiety and depression, loss of hope and confidence for the future. When I was preparing this message in the same few days, in 1 week, preparing this message on the importance of praise and worship, I had four conversations, just like one after the other in our church. I was talking with a medical doctor from our church, and he was telling me after the pandemic, he was saying, in all my years of practice, I've never seen my patients like this. They're agitated, they're on edge, they're suspicious, they're aggressive. Many of them never had depression symptoms before seem to be on edge and also profoundly and sometimes violently divided. Same week, I'm speaking with a Christian psychotherapist, a friend of mine, a counselor, and he says in all the years, an explosion of demands for psychological help and counseling for Christians. He's telling me, I have 100 people, 100 Christians on my waiting list. Then I the same week, talking with a leader from our food bank, one of our Mercy ministry, we have a food bank that feeds 15,000 people every month. And one of the leaders was telling right next to the church, and one of the leaders was telling me for years and years, and even through the pandemic, it just kept increasing. But as we used to have 5 or 10 new families coming in for food baskets every week, it is now 50, 70, 100 people per week. And she was telling me we had these scenes of people. There was a man this week who just burst out in tears, so mix of anger and tears and despair. I've never been in a food bank before. It's the middle of the month and I'm working and my wife is working and we can't feed our kids. And then I had this message in my mind, and then I'm talking with this high-level banker and mortgage and loan supervisor at our church, and he came to a men's prayer meeting, and he was telling me, he says, they're adding security on my floor because there's so many people in Canada losing their businesses, losing their jobs, losing their homes, and people are reacting violently. And he said, Pastor, pray for me, and we prayed for him. He said, Pastor, pray for me. One of my clients took his life. He put all the papers, losing his business and his home, and then he took his life. Beloved, there's a silent cry all around us. If we hear spiritually what's taking place, there's a behind the spending frenzy of Black Friday and the whirlwind of lights and parades of the holiday season coming, there's a secret cry in people's heart. Where do we go? Where can we find peace? Where do we go where everything seems so overwhelming to me? And even in believers, the sense of what do I do now? Where do I go now? When what is happening in my life is so contrary to everything I had planned, to everything I thought I would be at this place. And God just speaks to our hearts and says, you need to recapture my presence. You need to recapture the power of praise. And when I was studying for this, the thought came into my mind. I thought, Lord, this is going to be good for the new Christians in our church. We have, thank God, through the every year and through the pandemic, more people getting saved than any other years. This year, over 300 people coming to the Lord and being baptized. And we're grateful. And I was thinking, Lord, this is going to be good for the new believers. For them to learn the power of praise. And it was so heavy on my heart. Yes, for the new believers, but also for seasoned believers of all ages, whose worship they might have taken for granted, or the enemy has been attacking their worship and their praise right here tonight, but also online. I believe this message will speak and will be for many online. Tonight we will look in 2 Chronicles 20 at King Jehoshaphat. He's surrounded by enemies, facing a crisis in which he sees no solution. He's at the end of all his resources, but in a very personal way, he will teach us how to recapture the power of praise. And the power of praise is the power when I am anguished and under attack. And we look at 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 1. And it happened after this that the people of Moab, with the people of Ammon and others with them, besides the Ammonites, came to battle against Jehoshaphat. And then they came and told Jehoshaphat, saying, a great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, from Syria, and they are as around Tamar, and which is in En-Gedi. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all of Judah, and all of Judah gathered together to ask help from the Lord. And from all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. A great multitude is advancing against you. Oh, you're surrounded on all sides. There's no escape. You know you are facing that type of attack when your emotions are taking over. It's the emotions that are trying to take over. It's not, you're not responding rationally or even spiritually. It's a turmoil of emotion, a sense of panic or frustration and hopelessness. And scripture says in his fear, and the Hebrew word is really in his paralyzing terror, just paralyzed by it. But an enemy that I have no idea how to defeat. There's no human means by which I can defeat, I can resist this. But in his fear, Jehoshaphat set himself to seek the Lord. Now the Hebrew says, the word is so interesting. He disposed his heart. Actually, he gathered his heart towards God, toward seeking God. He ordered his heart towards seeking God. That is the power of worship and praise resides in the spiritual dynamic of when I begin to praise, I am disposing, directing, gathering, refocalizing, realigning my heart, my thoughts, and emotion on seeking God. Would you say yes? My heart seeks for God to enter into the equation of my battle, my crisis, my anguish, when the attack I'm facing. You know you're in this type of attacks, and you've been through this, where it seems like the more, you need the power of praise when the more you try to fight it, or you try to fix it, and you're struggling, and you just feel that the more you're doing, the more you're sinking. Anybody ever lived that? Like in sinking sand. A while back, I was watching a Nature Channel. It was from an African country where I preached, that I know very well. I was watching this Nature Channel documentary, and I saw this enormous buffalo, the bull. He was huge and so strong, but being stuck in quicksand and just beginning to moving and moving and moving until finally he's just swallowed up in quicksand. And in the Old Testament, the bull is a symbol of strength. And when I was watching this, so strong and moving and trying so much and sinking, I didn't hear the voice, but I felt in my spirit as if God was saying, hey, he looks just like you, doesn't he? How many of you have done that? Just moving, just trying. And the more I'm struggling, the more I just seem to be sinking. When I have looked everywhere else, to every human resources, and I've tried everything within my own capacity, when I'm anguished and under attack, I need to humbly come back to the power of praise, to the power of directing my heart towards God. Because a miracle that takes place in 2 Chronicles 20 of God's great deliverance is found in verse 22. We'll read it again at the end. But in 2 Chronicles 20, 22, these words are so powerful. And some of you have heard them many times, and some of you for the first time. But let the Holy Spirit write them on your heart again. And when they began to sing and praise the Lord. Would you say, in my notes it said Tuesday night crowd in New York City, they'll just say amen spontaneously. That's what it said right here. So I'm going to give you another chance. Would you say it out loud with me? And when they began to sing and praise the Lord. Now say it as if most of you were not 95 years old and older. And when, can we do it? And when they began to sing and praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Then the Lord said, ambush their enemies who had come against them, and they were defeated. The power of praise and worship is for every Christian when we are under anguish and attack. But it is also, the power of praise and worship is also for the church, for us as a body. It is the power when I'm anguished and under attack, and it is what I call, what Scripture would call, the power of assembling. You understand there is power when we come together in the presence of God. In 2 Chronicles 20 again, 4 and 5. So Judah gathered together to ask help from the Lord. All the sea, and from all the cities of Judah they came to seek the Lord. Then Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem, in the house of the Lord before the new court. I believe this is a pastoral word, and even with a apostolic warning. I believe it as I travel now post-pandemic. I say it with trembling in my heart, but I believe that in the last 2.5 years, the enemy of our soul is using the pandemic and the fact that believers right here in New York, for us in Canada, for 19 months, the Christians were not allowed. We weren't allowed to come to church. We could only be online. That the enemy is using that season where we could only meet online and not come together in the assembly to poison God's people with a lie that he has been sowing and using for the devastation of souls throughout the ages. And the lie is simple, but this is the new format now, but the lie is simple. You don't need to come together. You don't need to come to church. You don't need assembling. Just watch your favorite worship. Just watch your favorite preachers online. Just be online. And there is we have millions of believers around the world that are caught in a deadly trap of spiritual isolation. I want to say that the power of praise is the power of our assembling, of us coming together, of us coming from all over the cities in the house of the Lord. Now, please. A lot of people watching online, please understand me well. I am so thankful for God to the opportunity for the church to go online. I'm so grateful for the miracle God has done. And when I look at Times Square Church, when I look at the numbers of people around the world, I believe. Now, when I was reading that text, the words jumped out in my heart when it says they came in the house of the Lord before the new court. There was a new court. I believe that the church online is the new court. I believe that the development of online ministries is totally in God's plan and purposes for the last days, to protect us, to multiply exponentially the preaching of the gospel. The word of God is not bound, will not be bound, and it reaches more people now from this pulpit than ever before, and you should give God praise for that. Hallelujah. But it cannot replace the power of assembly, the power of coming together in praise and in prayer and in worship together. There is a deconstruction of the church. There is a wave of deconstruction movements polluting the body of Christ with the blindness and arrogance to pretend, dictating to God what we can discard and what we don't need anymore. God says, no, you come together. Thank God for online, but you come together in praise. There's something supernatural when we come together in praise in the assembly. And enter into worship. You look at and the pandemic just emphasized it. It just amplified it. Christians watching worship. And you go to congregations around the U.S. and you have Christians just looking on stage, watching the performance. They're not coming in. They're not entering in. We are called to the holy gathering when we seek God, we pray, we worship, we draw nigh unto him together. Will you shout out loud together? It is always together. It is always together. They were together when God opened up the Red Sea. They were together in praise and worship when the walls of Jericho fell. They were together in praise and worship and the word when they rebuilt what had been torn down with Isaiah, with Nehemiah, forgive me, and Ezra. They were assembled together in praise and prayer and the word when the prophets would call them back to God in solemn assemblies coming together. They were assembled together in praise and prayer and the word in every biblical and historical revival. They were assembled together praying and singing hymns with Jesus when he announced his death and his resurrection that we celebrated tonight in communion. They were coming together in the upper room when they heard a sound as of a mighty rushing wind and cloven tongues of fire came upon each of them, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. They were together in Acts 4 when the persecution came and they began to pray and worship and speak the word and pray together. And the priests, when they were assembled, trembled and they were filled with the Spirit again. They were assembled together, Paul and Silas. When the multitude rose against them, when the magistrate tore off their clothes and ordered them to be beaten with rods, and when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them in the caves of the prison, and then they put their feet in stocks. But at midnight, I want you to say to the person next to you, it's midnight, it's midnight time. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were worshiping and singing and praising together. Hallelujah. Give him praise tonight. This is a praise meeting. It is midnight, brothers, sisters. It is midnight. And as we begin again and again to worship and praise and recapture the power of praise, the prison doors still are open and the shackles still fall and men will still call and say, what can we do to be saved? The power, recapturing the power of praise. When I'm anguished and under attack, the power of the assembling and the power of a deeper adoration. There's an assembling and there's a deeper adoration, which answers the question, why is modern worship so often without power? Why is it so often just music and song and showmanship? Why is modern worship so often without power? Because there is no power from on high without the preparation of the heart. In other words, there's no 2 Chronicles 20 without 2 Chronicles 19. I've heard a lot of messages on 2 Chronicles 20, but when you look at 2 Chronicles 19, there's a preparation in deeper adoration. In verse 3 of 2 Chronicles 19, nevertheless, good things are found in you, in that you have removed the idols, the wooden images from the land, and you've prepared your heart to seek God. So Jehoshaphat dwelt at Jerusalem, and he went out against among the people from Beersheba to the mountains of Ephraim and brought them back to the Lord God of their fathers. Then he sent leaders, he sent judges in the land throughout all the fortified cities in Judah, city by city, and said to the judges, take heed to what you are doing. Be careful in what you're doing, for you do not judge for a man, but for the Lord who is with you in the judgment. Now, therefore, let the fear of the Lord be upon you. Take care and do it, for there is no iniquity with the Lord our God. No partiality, no taking of bribes. There's the power of a deeper adoration. Nevertheless, there's good things found in you. What was found in them that was good? It has to be more than just every music award show. I thank God. I love God. It has to be more than I say I love God. It has to be more. So what was good in them? I'm passionate. It has to be more than I'm passionate about Christian music. It has to be more than talent, music, culture. I've been doing this my whole life. I'm a professional at this. It has to be more than traditional, cultural, emotional, or soulish responses to music. It has to be more than I know all the bands, all the Christian bands of the best songs of the years, and I've watched them on YouTube 3,000 times. It has to be more than that. Please understand, I love worship. I watch worship. I'd much rather for our believers to be watching worship and to be listening to worship than watching the filth that's on television. But listen well. Nevertheless, good things were found in you. What good things have to be found in us for our worship to be pleasing to God? Good thing was found in you. You've prepared your heart by removing idols. Are you still? This is not a one season in your life. In every season of our lives, true worship involves removing idols. Involves the preparation of the heart. And I'm speaking for just for a moment pastorally, because there's so many that are watching from all over the world. A word from the heart of God. To those that are involved in worship, to those that lead worship, to those that are involved in worship. It's pretty astonishing. Jehoshaphat is doing a world tour. There's a lot of tours right now of Christian bands going around the nation. We just read it. Jehoshaphat is going from city to city. It's the Jehoshaphat worship tour. But he's going from city to city, bringing people back to the heart of God. not bringing them to bigger shows and bigger lights and bigger musical wowness, not bringing them to more adulation for himself, bringing them to the heart of God and to the throne of God and to the holiness of God. Say yes, please. Take heed. Take heed. This is a pastoral word for all of those that are in singing and leader and Levite ministries. The leaders were established to remind and model God's character and commandments. Take heed. He said, you're not doing this for yourself. You're not doing this before men. You're not singing, leading, playing music for yourself or to be seen or to be elevated. You are doing this before God. So let the fear, so let the reverence, the seriousness, he said, do this, take care of this. Let the seriousness and the reverence of God and the character of God and the sense of the importance of what I'm doing fill your heart. Let the fear of God, not the fear of God's hand coming to in wrath on me. No, the fear of God's hand being removed from me. Every heart saying, Lord, I'm coming to you. And we're coming in a deeper adoration. Deeper adoration. Every idol, Lord, I'm bringing back to you. Every leader. Now, thank God for the talent. Thank God for the quality of music. Thank God for the arrangements. Thank God for all of it. But give us men and women with hearts that are removing idols and calling people's heart to him. Say yes, please. You are worshiping before God with the sole purpose of glorifying him and bringing people back to him. That's the preparation, the purity, and the deeper adoration. But then there's a renewed perspective. This is how worship becomes powerful. Verse 6 and 7 of 2 Chronicles 20. Then he said, O Lord God, God of our fathers. And Pastor Patrick did went right with this a few minutes ago. O Lord God of our fathers, are you not... you can answer anytime you like. Are you not in heaven? Are you not, do you not rule over all the kingdoms of the nations? You should say yes. Your hand, is there not power and might so that no one is able to withstand you? Are you not our God who drove out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and gave it to the descendants of Abraham, your father? Are you not the God who's all powerful and all might over all our enemies? Hallelujah. You begin to see the sequence that produces the supernatural. There's a divine order and honor that for the doors of heaven to open. There's repentance and purity. There's the resembling of God's people in one heart. We return to prayer. And then we remind ourselves of his past breakthroughs, of his past power and accomplishment. I stand tonight and I say, has he not been powerful in your life? Has he not been faithful? Has he not been the great God of all power? You must remember who he is if you are to receive what he does. You have to remember who he is. You must magnify the Lord. Gadal in Hebrew. Magnify the Lord. Psalm 34, 38 is my call to you tonight. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he heard me. He delivered me from all of my fears. If I'm saying your testimony tonight, shout something. They looked to him and they were radiant. And their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried out. This is my story. This poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved them out of his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamped all around those who fear him and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Do you know that one of the physical symptoms of the prolonged COVID is the loss of taste? People lose taste. That's one of the... I when I read that, I thought, through the COVID, there's a whole lot of Christians that lost their taste for the goodness of the presence of God. Is there anyone here? Oh, when we began our church, we had a very small, just a few dozen people when we began, and everybody was so close, and in the first, it was my first pastor, I was 30 years old, and it was a lady, she would sit towards the back, great woman, like a mother in the faith, and she would sit in the back, and while I was preaching, once in a while, she would say, ooh, that's good, and it helped me, I'm just, you know. And she would say, or sometimes almost like she was tasting it. She would go, that's good. You know. But some other times, there would be long silence between the, that's good. And really, he was playing with my mind. I was getting nervous. She's not saying anything. And I felt like the people were saying, oh boy, she hasn't said whom that's good in a long time. And I remember one sermon where I was really struggling and she hasn't said anything in a long time. And then I saw her go, I'm thinking, okay, she's gonna say it. And she goes, help him, Lord, help him. Can we say tonight, oh, taste and see that the Lord, he's good. He's good. Would you give praise to the Lord that's good? Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Magnify the Lord with me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Magnify the Lord with me. That is how deeper adoration becomes powerful. When God becomes greater than he becomes greater, you're magnifying him. Please understand, gadol, magnify the Lord with me means make him greater, make him larger, enlarge, exalt, elevate, gadol. It does not mean God doesn't get bigger in his person or his attributes because he is immutable. He doesn't change. But he gets bigger through worship in our adoration, in our perspective. You begin to see him as he really is, as he really is. And the opposite is true. If I forsake the reminding of his greatness and supreme authority when I'm attempting to worship and when my prayers and worship become me-centered, my problems focused. The enemy can use my battles to make my problems become big in my eyes. And then I am seduced by the lie of a reduced God. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. He's greater. Is he not the Lord that's greater than all of them? Because the renewed perspective of a deeper adoration brings the presence of God. He inhabits those praises, and then it brings his promises back. He brings his presence and his promises back. The presence of true adoration. When we come in repentance together, and his people gather in one heart, and we proclaim his kingdom authority and all power over all enemy, all darkness, then his presence comes, and he fills us with his presence and the reminding of his name that is upon us. Verse 8 and 9, they dwell, they've built you a sanctuary in your name. Would you say out loud, in his name? Saying, if disaster comes, sword, judgments, pestilence, famine, we will stand before this temple in your presence. For your name is in this temple, and cry out to you in our affliction, and cry out to you in our affliction, and you will hear and say. Recapturing the power of praise is the divine reminder that his presence, his promises, his name is always with us and upon us. His name is on, your name is in this place. Thank God for the testimony of Times Square Church, but you understand no other name lifted up in this place than the name of Jesus. It's his name. It's his name upon it. In Jesus Christ, you've been redeemed, forgiven. Your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And your name is on God's heart. And his name is upon us. When the high priest would wear a breastplate and would have the names of the tribes of Israel upon their hearts. Your name, my name, is upon God's heart. And his name is upon me. And this is not theory to me. And this is not something I take lightly. Because if you talk to anybody about my family name, everybody who knew us over the last 3-4 generations, there was a name that was stuck to us. For many generations, in my family, my father, his father, and his father, and his grandfather, the names were alcoholism and addiction and violence and abuse and mental illness and bipolar diagnosis and depression and violence and abandoning your wife and adultery and sinfulness and addiction. But God put his name on my life, and he put his name on yours. And that's why I praise him tonight. Hallelujah. Your name is upon us. Hallelujah. I'm doing podcasts for pastors from all over the French world. I say, Pastor Claude, were you afraid when 19 months in Canada without, by law, being forbidden by law to open the doors of the church? Were you afraid for the church? If it would have been my name, my sanctuary, my temple, I could have been afraid. But it's his name. So if we seek his face, and we cry out to him in our affliction, he will hear and he will save. Pastor Cole, aren't you worried? Aren't you afraid of the Antichrist persecution coming against the church, the intolerance, the injustice, the sinfulness and violence, bashing of media and powerful lobbies trying to silence the church, to choke out the church? If it was my name, if it was my house, I could be worried, but it's his name, it's his sanctuary, it's his presence. And as long as we seek his presence, we call on him, he will hear and he will save, and give him praise for what he will do. So Pastor Claude, how can I recapture the fullness of power, of the power of praise in my own life? Just one sentence. The power of praise, very simple, is found and experienced in a stronger and a deeper way by the power of admission that will bring divine assurance and divine abundance. There's an admission to God that will bring into your life a divine assurance and a divine abundance. The power of admission. 2 Chronicles 20, 12, 13. O our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power against this great multitude, and it is coming against us, nor do we know what to do. Do you hear the admission? I am powerless before this, and I don't know what to do. But our eyes are upon you. Now all Judah with their little ones, their wife and children stood before the Lord. Jehoshaphat gives us a precious key to recapturing the power of prayer, the power of praise, but also recapturing peace and joy and confidence. No matter what you are facing, it is in the power he admits, I don't know what to do. I do not have control over this, and I don't know what to do. These are some of the hardest words for many of us to speak. We love to be in control. We love to be in control of everything. We love to hold on. We love to know what's going on. We are control. We love to control a situation. We love to, we thrive on having control. We want to think we are in control of the present and the future, our lives, our kids, their future. This is it. This is the college you'll go. This is the girl you'll marry. This is it. This is how control our goals. We have targets and projects and timetables, and we announce for goals and visions. We love to control our agendas, the future of our loved ones, our careers, our ministries. We even act sometimes as if we can control God. But true praise is found in the admission. I have no control over this. I am powerless in front of this. I don't know what to do, but my eyes are on you. Many Christians, ministries, churches, servants of God can operate and live in the realm of the natural for so long. In control with know-how and professionalism and our ideas and our energy and our drive and our, until they are brought to a place of admission. I cannot conquer this by myself. I cannot heal of this by myself. I cannot order this away. I cannot order this problem away. Not by my knowledge, not by my experiences, not by my resources, my methods, not by my drive, my energy, my talent, my know-how. The older you get and the more you've accomplished, the harder it is to have the humility to say, I don't know what to do. Lean to somebody next to you and say to them, you don't always know what to do. Say that to somebody next to you. Very important. True praise and worship admits it. I need heaven to fix earth. I need heaven to fix earth. True praise and worship declares by faith, earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. The power of praise is found and experienced in a stronger way by the power of admission that will bring supernatural assurance and kingdom abundance. When you admit and release, then there's an assurance that comes. Look at verse 15 and 17. And he said, listen, all of you, Judah, and your inhabitants of Jerusalem, you, King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid or dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. You will not need to fight in this battle. Oh, I love this. Position yourselves. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. who is with you, oh Judah. It is so moving and encouraging to me that the scriptures tells us that in this passage, they cried out to God, I am powerless in front of this. I don't know what to do. I don't have the control. I don't know what to do. They made this admission while they were dedicating and presenting and standing with their families around them. We read it in the text, women, children, they're standing with their whole family. And I think it's very, very tender and very, very pertinent and very realistic, because for many of us, it's with our families, our sons, our daughters, and people close to us that we most feel powerless. I don't know what to do. We've tried everything. We tried everything for my son, for my daughter. I've tried everything for my marriage. It's so encouraging to me that it's when they stood with their families around them in front of an enemy that seemed to be about to destroy them, and they admitted, I relent, I give it to you, I admit I don't know what to do, I have no power, that a divine assurance came and filled their heart. It is also so moving. I'm saying this to a mother, I'm saying this to a father, I'm saying this to somebody online, and you say, Pastor, that's me. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say anymore. I don't know what to do. God responds and he says, your sons are my sons, your daughters are my daughter, your battles are my battles. Reposition yourself. Stand still and see the salvation of your Lord. It is also moving and encouraging to me that it is when they position themselves in humble admission that God filled their hearts with heavenly assurance. There's a heavenly assurance. It is when you position themselves, turning the battle over to God in the invisible, to come and invade and take control of the battle in the visible, that a divine assurance came and calmed their hearts and their souls. Last passage, we're just going to read it. It's so beautiful. We're going to prepare for worship. Chapter 20. In verse 13, and Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem bowed before the Lord. That's what we're going to do in a moment, worshiping the Lord. The Levites and the children, they all stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with voices loud, high. And they rose early in the morning and went into the wilderness. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, inhabitants of Jerusalem, hear me, people of New York City. Believe in the Lord your God and you shall be established. Believe his prophets and you shall prosper. And when he had consulted the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord and who should praise the beauty of holiness, and went out before the army and were saying, praise the Lord, his mercy endures forever. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambush against the people of Ammon who had come against, and they were defeated. Hallelujah. This text is so beautiful. This is an unchangeable and dispensable law of the kingdom. Then when we draw nigh unto him, he draws nigh unto us. When deep of our hearts calls unto the deep of the resources of heaven in true praise and worship. When God is seeking and he finds men and women, for the day has come and has come. Where true worshipers will worship him in spirit and in truth. For God is seeking men and women that will worship him in truth and in spirit. It is when I bow my head in my heart that I will receive the breakthroughs from heaven. It is when I stand up to praise, when everything is pushing me down, I stand up to praise, that I see up and I receive peace. It is when I truly worship that he will write a testimony for me, even in my wilderness. It is when I sing his mercies forever that I will see his miracles and his favor. It is when I surrender to his divine strategy that my sacrifice of praise becomes supernatural. There's a divine strategy when God said, position yourselves. And we read in the text that he appointed those who should sing to the Lord and should praise the beauty of his holiness. And they went before the army in battle. This is a divine strategy. Don't miss this. God sent ferocious armies all around them. God sends Judah first. He sends the band. He sends the musicians, the worshipers. He sends the singers. He sends the choir first. He sends the musicians before the Marines and the infantry and the SEALs and all the other elite soldiers. He sends the worship first, the worshipers first. Believe me, the enemy is saying, what are they doing? And the soldiers are saying, what are they doing? And maybe some of the choir members in front are saying, what are we doing? I smiled when I read that he consulted with them before he sent them. And they were all in one accord. I don't know how many of the choir members were really in one accord. What are we doing going first? This is divine strategy. Please understand. Before you send anything else, send worship first. Send worship unto God first. Before you gripe, before you fight, before you pout, before you wiggle, before you struggle, before you send worship first. Send worship first. Send a signal to be announced that transfer now, this battle belongs to God. It's the difference as the musicians come. It is the difference between thanksgiving, worshiping in thanksgiving and in faith. When we worship God, we sing and praise Him. After the victory, it's thanksgiving. Thank God for what He's done. And how many of you tonight, you have reasons to be thankful for what He's done? Give Him praise. But that's not faith. That's thanksgiving. He did that. I say thank you. But the worship of faith is a worship that sends Judah, sends worship and praise while the enemy is staring you in the face. And nothing is settled and nothing is promised. But you say, this is not my battle. This is, I'm sending Judah first. I'm sending praise first. I'm sending a signal to hell that God is in charge here. When the pandemic finished, when it came to an end in Canada, when we were allowed to fly and travel again, there's thousands of people that went to get their passport renewed their passport had been expired during the last 2.5 years, and Canada wasn't ready. So we were like a third world country. There was live something happening with the mic. We okay? Can you hear me well? Okay, I'm hearing double, triple voice. We had lines. Give me a mic. Give me a hand mic. The mic's bad. Thank you. There were lines around the block of the passport offices. People were waiting 3, 4, 5 days to get their passport renewed because they weren't ready. And without the passport, you couldn't travel. When I was watching this and preparing this message, it just came into my spirit. Did you renew your praise passport? If you don't renew your praise passport, you can't leave the land of despair. You can't leave the country of misery. Did you renew your praise passport that would allow you to cross over the border into the assurance and the abundance of God? Because when the battle was over, Joseph and his people came to take away the spoil, and they found in the midst of the dead, all over the battlefield, an abundance of precious treasures. More than they could carry away. They were 3 days gathering the abundance of the treasure. There was so much. I want to speak it to you today and online tonight, here and online. You will come out of your battlefield with precious treasures. The worshipers will discover precious treasures in the midst of their worst storms. Beauty for ashes. A diadem when there was devastation. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Some years ago, I'm closing with this. I'm not going to tell you the country, but some years ago, we were doing a pastor's conference in a mainly Islamic country with atrocious persecution. And we heard the 3 days with about 500 pastors, we heard of pastors being imprisoned. The church was burnt down. I was always remember holding hand with a pastor who was missing fingers, and then his brother told me they just tortured him while he was there just worshiping the Lord. And we were there in this conference, and it was two translators, different languages, and they came, and these men were filled with the joy of the Lord and strength, and they came from Iraq and Macedonia and Palestine and Iran and Indonesia and Saudi Arabia, and we were gathered together, and it was a beautiful time of worship. And then the
the man was in charge, the superintendent, the bishop, put everything, said, okay, you may be seated. And it was very authoritative type of man. He seemed to be extremely respected by everyone. And it was hard for me because I was in the front row, and it was the translators. I kept saying, what is he saying, trying to understand. And when we all sat down, there was one young man in the, right in the middle, and he's just like, just worshiping while they began to do the announcements. And then at first the bishop went, I didn't understand what he was saying, it's in Arabic, but he was like, sit down, you know. And I'm saying, what are you saying? Well, he's telling him to sit down. And then the young man began to speak with tears, and I'm saying, what is he saying? And the young man said, I'm sorry bishop, I don't want to be out of order, but I spent the last 12 months in jail. And it's the first time in 5 years that I'm allowed to be with you brothers and to worship together. So I just, and this is what I know it's through translation, but I never forgot it. And he said, I know the singing was over, but God was not finished filling me up. I needed to be filled up a bit more before I go back. And I saw the bishop goes, stop the announcements. We all need to be filled up more. So that's what I'm saying tonight. We all need to be filled up more. So can you stand with me in the presence of God and bow your head just for a moment? And this is what I had in my mind. I'm going to ask the team to get ready to lead us in worship for a few minutes together. But before you let... you just slip out, and before you go, we go back to the whirlwind of our lives. Can we lift, if you're free to do it, this is not a legalistic thing, but online and here in person, if you're free to lift your hands to God, would you begin to, and when they began to sing and praise in Times Square Church, 51st and Broadway, in November in New York City, the Lord God Almighty, hallelujah, would you begin with your voice to sing and praise? Would you begin to praise Him? Oh God, I am under attack. I was in anguish, but I come to you tonight. I am bringing it all to you tonight, oh God. I want to come to a deeper adoration. Oh God, I want idols. I'm coming in and I'm asking you, Holy Spirit, to convict, and I set aside idols in my heart. I'm preparing my heart. I want 2 Chronicles 20. I must come to the place of my heart being prepared by you. In Jesus' name, would you, God, there's the, I admit it, there's a situation, there's a person, there's a battle. Oh God, there's a woundedness, I admit it, I don't know what to do. I have no power against this, and we don't know what to do, but my eyes are on you. My eyes are not on myself anymore, they're not on everybody else around that could do something. My eyes are on you. We declare tonight that as we come and admit to you divine assurance and begin to speak by faith, begin to speak out loud by faith. Send Judah first. Begin to send Judah first. Send worship first. Begin to worship Him before the battle, while the battle is raging. Reposition yourself. Be still and worship and praise. And God, this is your battle. This is your son. This is your daughter. This is your diagnosis. This is your children. This is your battle, my God. Your name is upon us. Your name is upon this church until you come. Your name is upon Pastor Tim. Your name is upon his elders. Your name is upon our church until you come, oh God. Your name is upon us. Your name is upon your sanctuary. Our name is on your heart. So tonight we come in worship because we need you in Jesus' name. And we are declaring by faith that we will find treasure on the battlefield. We will come out of this battlefield with treasures. Oh yes, there was death on the battlefield, but we are coming out with treasures. 3 days later, resurrection treasures are offered. Hallelujah. So this is what I had in my spirit. Would you, if you feel led to do, to be a part of this, come and magnify the Lord with me. I would like to ask everybody who's free to do it to come forward. Everyone, I felt this would be a together moment, not only together in the same building. Would you come forward? You say, well, I never do that. Would you come and worship? We're just going to worship. We're just going to, when they began to sing and to praise, come on, men and women. If husbands and wives are together, come. Come for yourself. Come for a son. Come for a daughter. Come for a battle. Come for, I need you, God. I need to give this to you. I need to admit this to you, this situation to you. Come on, as you come, begin, as soon as you get here in the front, begin to sing and praise. Begin to worship. And if you're in the back, if you need to stay in the back, worship where you are. This whole place is now a praise meeting, a praise meeting, a prayer meeting, as we sing and we worship together in the name of Jesus. Come on, men and women of God, let me hear the sound. Let me hear the sound of hearts together. Like Paul and Silas, like Jehoshaphat and the tribe of Judah. Sounds of men and women singing, worshiping unto God.